I guess my next question is in terms of just how you over time are improving these models, what goes into that? Could you talk a little bit about that process?
Well, the models of today are much better than they were when I first started working at GFDL in the 1980s, and we still have a ways to go. We can continue to improve them. And there's different ways of judging how a climate model has improved depending upon the application that you want to use it for. And as time has gone on, we've seen that the number of people who are interested in the climate models and what they're doing, that audience has increased. I guess you can think of the improvements occurring in different ways depending upon the audience. In one regard, it's the completeness of the models. In another regard, it might be the model resolution, how small we make those boxes. And then maybe the ultimate test is how well those model simulations of the past, say the last century or so, match up with what was observed. In all three of those categories, we have improved the models over time. In terms of completeness, they're more sophisticated than they used to be. They're more complex. We try to have them more fully represent a wider range of the physical mechanisms that are in the model. So you can think of it as adding more refined parts to the model to make it more realistic. On the model resolution, that's really a thing that's dependent upon the computer power we have available to us. Just like a high-resolution television will give you a better picture, or a digital camera with a lot of megapixels is better than a coarser-looking picture, we can get a better idea about what's going on in the climate if we have more smaller boxes making up the grid in our models. But that's computationally expensive. It takes a lot more to make those computations at more boxes, so we're really constrained by the amount of computer we have. And finally, we can see what's been happening over the past 10, 15 years, and we then compare or benchmark our models, and we look at how the global large-scale climate has changed during the 20th century. And we can take our model, and we can include the factors that we think could help force some of what those observed changes were, changes in greenhouse gases, changes in atmospheric pollutants and particles, volcanic aerosols, subtle changes in the solar output. And by putting all those factors in, we can see how our model responds, both globally and in the large scale, continents versus oceans, the Arctic versus the tropics. And we can see that the models have gotten much better over time in reproducing decade by decade those large scale variations that have been observed, and then that'll give us more confidence in what our models do.